Today's Walking Dead feedback show is sponsored by True Car. In order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context, information that empowers you to feel confident with True Car. You get to see what other people in your local market paid for the car that you want. From there, you can connect with a local True Car certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Using True Car, you'll easily find the car that you want. True Car is going to show you what other people in your area paid for the car that you want. Now you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. And once you register, you'll get to see the real pricing on the actual inventory. That's the competitive pricing offered only to you by a True Car certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to the dealership, so you can feel confident when you get there. And with True Car, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing to enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. True Car customers also are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with True Car certified dealers. Best of all, True Car users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. The Walking Dead Season 8 Episode 6 is over, but we're just getting started answering your feedback questions here on The Walking Dead Post-Show Recap Feedback Show. And now, here are the two guys who have hooked a truck full of speakers up to an iPod to listen to more podcasts. I'm Rob Sisson here with Josh Wiggler. Josh, how are you?
Oh my God, I feel like I've been shot in the face with a rocket launcher, to be quite honest. Like, I feel like I just took a direct hit from a missile. Overkill is how I'm feeling today. I've been overkilled.
Overkilled. Why? What's that? I think people will probably think you're doing a bit, but you are really not feeling well, right?
I have a headache.
You're under the weather. Yes.
My head hurts. Yeah. No, I just have a little bit of a headache right now. So if I'm a little off, I apologize. But The Walking Dead, it can wait for no headaches, especially when we have as riveting an episode as The King, The Widow, and Rick to discuss. Yeah. Is that the worst episode title in The Walking Dead history?
Well, I talked about that with Jess, that it is a very un-Walking Dead episode title, and that is the first episode title of the series that has a character's name in it. It's weird.
Is that true?
Yeah. Jess that Vatos is an episode, but other than that, they're all like, you know, episodes like The Opening. Like, you know, it's just like something that's like just kind of abstract.
I do kind of, just as a rule, hate the titles for episodes of The Walking Dead. Like, I think that is one of the weakest points of the series. It's just sometimes these episodes are just named so haphazardly, it seems like, or there's just like this like highfalutin episode title that
as Fear the Walking Dead, and not nearly as bad as Star Trek Discovery.
It's so good that we're already crossing over our Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead conversation this early on in the podcast. I imagine that's going to dominate the majority of our conversation today. But yeah, I just thought that, I mean, like, it's like we got to come up with a better name for Rick, right? Like, if we've got the King and the Widow, which are both very intimidating sounding, like, what do we get for Rick? We got to give the man a title.
Oh, I do believe that he had been given a title by the saviors, and that was Rick the Prick.
Rick the Prick. Rick the Prick.
I mean, Rick the Prick is a great episode title of The Walking Dead.
That would be the number one. That would be the best episode title in the history of The Walking Dead is Rick the Prick. Only until it's followed up by Rick the Prick Part 2. I think that is going to be the best episode title in the history of The Walking
Dead. Right. Imagine the episode was called The King, The Widow, and Rick the Prick.
Yeah, that's the one. That is the best. I also like, wasn't there a part where in this episode during by the way, Rick is in it for like 5 minutes. So I don't even know, like, this is the episode where you get Rick's name in the title. He's in it for like 5 minutes. And I think it's during like, you know, one of the scenes where he's negotiating with Jadis, where someone's like, it's a trick. And I just like that, like, Rick should be like, no, I'm Rick. It's not trick.
Mm-hmm.
Trick Grimes is a thing.
Trick Grimes.
That's the quality of content I've got for you guys today.
Okay. Well, Josh, I mean, it's very understandable if you feel like that you have been hit over the head with a baseball bat. You are not the only character in the Walking Dead universe who has experienced that.
So that's true.
We have a lot to get to here. And I guess our top story at this hour, Jess and I were still just dealing with the fallout from this on the recap show on Sunday night. But of course, the big news, which has rocked the Walking Dead universe at large, is that the person who is going to be the crossover character that we've been trying to figure out has been revealed. And it is Lenny James, who is, of course, Morgan. He will be leaving The Walking Dead proper and be crossing over into Fear of the Walking Dead. Josh, did you get to watch Lenny James on The Talking Dead?
I heard a little bit about it. I was really focused on all eyes ahead on the live stream of his first day on set, which I don't know if you watched that, Rob, but what a letdown. A lot of hype for the live stream of the first day on set. Like, I thought that we were going to see like Morgan's first scene in Fear of the Walking Dead. And instead, it was literally just Lenny James outside of a makeup trailer being like, hey, I'm in Austin, Texas now. They've let me out of my hotel. Yeah. And can't wait to see some sights. I can't wait to go to the Know-It-Alls next week.
Yeah, it's crazy that all of this Fear the Walking Dead stuff is going on in Austin, Texas, because maybe the crossover event that you've all been waiting for is when Rob Has a Podcast is coming to Austin, Texas as well. What are the chances that I've never been to Austin, Texas before in my life? And then to have Fear the Walking Dead going on there at the same time. And then Rob Has a Podcast will be there a week from now. And that's crazy, right?
I sincerely hope that you see some walkers while you're out there. Like, I think that that would be really disappointing if you don't get to see a zombie or two.
It's me, Madison.
Can I get into the Know-It-Alls? I tried to buy a ticket, but it's sold out.
Yeah.
Can you get me in and Nick and
Rob,
Alicia?
Where's Nick? Where's Nick?
And Victor. Don't worry about Daniel. He's a survivor, but he doesn't watch Survivor.
You like duck? I made you a duck, Rob. Come on. Let me in.
We go to Franklin Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And Uchiko.
You thought Abraham was going to be here, but he's not.
He's not.
Where's Abraham?
Yeah, I know that there is some... like, that feels a little too soon to start making jokes about how Abraham is not coming back to the Walking Dead universe. There was a lot of hype for that. That was really that was the prominent theory, that the Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead crossover was going to be... we're going to see Michael Cudlitz back in the mix because Fear of the Walking Dead takes place early on in the Walking Dead timeline. There's a way that, like, it would make sense for Abraham to be here. He was in Texas. Alas, that is not going to happen. Yep. Abraham remains very, very, very super dead, and we will never see him again.
So they talked to Lenny James on The Talking Dead as this big reveal. And again, this was such a blindside. Abraham coming over was the conventional wisdom that was sort of like the odds on theory that everybody was talking about, that they were setting the series in Houston. And then they were going to be going to see Abraham in sort of like around this era, this period, in terms of where they are in the Fear the Walking Dead timeline. But no, it's Morgan, it's Lenny James. And some people had said to me, like, oh, you gotta watch this. Lenny James looks like he is not happy. He is not thrilled to be leaving The Walking Dead and to be going to Fear the Walking Dead. I have to say, I didn't get that quite as much as I think people were hyping that up to me. But it was clear to me that Lenny James is not, he was calling the show Fear of the Walking Dead.
Me, I am joining the cast of Fear of the Walking Dead.
it wasn't even his first day on the job yet, okay? He still has some time to get the title right.
He should get the name of the show right.
He will. Give him time. That was day zero.
Fear of the Walking Dead, starring Lenny James.
Fear of the Walking Dead.
That's what a lot of people who watch The Walking Dead still have.
Lenny.
Yeah.
Lenny. There's no fear of the Walking Dead.
Do you have no respect for our show?
Fear of the Walking Dead.
Okay, so we do want to talk that through.
I do think the insight that I could provide into that is I remember talking to, I interviewed Lenny James when I worked at MTV many moons ago. I spoke with him for the episode Clear, the first time Morgan returned to The Walking Dead since the pilot episode. And I was really excited to talk to him because I love Lenny James. I think that he's a terrific actor. My first encounter with Lenny James on screen is, of course, Snatch, which he is terrific in. And I always loved that he was part of the Walking Dead universe and thought that he was so brilliant in that first episode. And so when I found out that he was coming back for season three for even an episode, I was so stoked to talk to him. And I remember very vividly, the thing that I remember the most about that interview was him being like, yeah, it was really fun to like get back into that character and to get back into that world. But like, there was so much secrecy around it that like, I couldn't leave my hotel. Like, I had to be like under like strictest lock and key and on severe lockdown at multiple points throughout the shoot, except for when I was actually shooting. And it didn't sound like he liked that. I mean, that sounds like a miserable existence, where like you just have to be completely like ferreted to set in secrecy. And otherwise you're just like, you know, holed away in a hotel. And it sounds like that is exactly what he just endured for the transition from Walking Dead to Fear the Walking Dead, where he talks about it in that live stream. He's like, well, they finally let me out of my hotel. So if he seemed like a little sullen and melancholy and just like a little frustrated, even perhaps on Talking Dead, I would expect that that's probably the reason why. This is not a man who likes to be on lockdown in hotels.
Okay. Yet that could be what he's headed for here, as he, you know, you and I had speculated for quite some time that maybe is Morgan. He was a frequent character to go out in our death drafts, but now here he is crossing over from one Walking Dead franchise to another, and so obviously he's going to be sticking with being a character on a TV series, at least for the foreseeable future. But Josh, you did some fantastic journalistic work here this past week over at THR, where you have presented a theory, because we've been trying to wrap our head around how could Morgan be on both shows, where Fear the Walking Dead is set, you know, within like the first year of the zombie apocalypse. Obviously, The Walking Dead, a lot more time has elapsed, although it seems like time has caught up. You know, there's like the last two seasons of The Walking Dead have taken place over like the course of like 30 days.
It's like 30 minutes. Yeah.
Like 39
Solid
days.
Half hour.
Yeah, that's like 10 seasons of The Walking Dead at the pace it's going right now. But
right.
That being said, that it is thought that The Walking Dead is quite some time ahead of Fear the Walking Dead. We have seen Lenny James's Morgan character from the very early days of the zombie apocalypse. We got a sort of catch up with him in season 3 in Clear. We got a flashback episode of what he was doing in between Clear and when we caught up with him in sort of like the little end credit scenes in season 5 of The Walking Dead. And Josh, you have presented the world with a theory, which I think is very interesting and very credible. So tell our listeners what you're thinking.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, a couple minutes ago, you said that, like, you know, we have Morgan in our death draft fairly frequently. Like, he's a character that we always have our eye on to possibly leave The Walking Dead. I have said before, like, I can't imagine Lenny James wants to stick around The Walking Dead forever. And apparently that's correct. But he really wants to get on over to Austin for Fear of the Walking
Come
Dead.
Come on over. Water's warm.
We've got barbecue. Yeah, so he's sticking around in the Walking Dead universe, but I think it's not obvious to everybody that this news does mean that Lenny James as Morgan Jones is going to walk away from season 8 of The Walking Dead alive. That is now confirmed. Morgan is not dying in season 8 of The Walking Dead. Like, if there's any kind of like, if there's like any sort of like bummer about this news, aside from the fact that if you're a big Morgan fan and you like him in the context of the proper Walking Dead, he's leaving, it's that now there's the spoiler that is on the table that whatever happens, if Morgan's in like severe danger at a certain point in time, you know, he's going to be okay. That guy is not going to die. He's making it over to Fear the Walking Dead. But that doesn't seem like it has obviously registered to a lot of people who, as you have noted, Fear the Walking Dead through 3 seasons of the show basically takes place roughly around the time of like the first 2, maybe 3 seasons of The Walking Dead proper. It's in the earlier days of the zombie apocalypse. These two shows are not only split apart by distance, but they are also split apart by time. But the news about Morgan, which is why I think that this is a really exciting opportunity, is this effectively means that Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead are now going to be taking place at the same time. We have seen, as you pointed out, we have seen Morgan's entire history in the zombie apocalypse at this point. He is the second main character that we ever meet on this show, at least who's still alive. Shane is the second main character we meet alongside Rick. He is no longer with us. RIP Shane. I hope you're having fun on The Punisher. Morgan is the second main character we meet on this show in terms of the people who are still alive today on The Walking Dead. He is in that first episode. He is with Rick when Rick is first exploring and returning to his hometown. He stays behind in Rick's hometown with his son, Dwayne, when Rick goes off to Atlanta to find Lori and find Carl and, you know, get united with everybody else that he's going to meet and forge this new family with moving forward. We don't check in with Morgan again until season three's aforementioned Clear, where he has stayed in Rick's hometown. And Rick and Michonne and Carl have gone back to Rick's hometown so they can start arming up for the impending war against Woodbury. And in this time, we find out what has happened to Morgan since the first time we saw him on the show in the pilot and now. And he has stayed exactly where he is. Dwayne has died. Morgan has gone insane. Morgan remains there after Rick and Michonne and Carl leave their hometown to fight the good fight in Woodbury. We will see the character next in season five, but in terms of the chronology, we will see the character's next moves post Clear in season six's Tabitha the Goat flashback episode, which completely chronicles everything that we see from Morgan, starting from when Rick leaves, when he leaves his hometown again in Clear, to where we start catching up with Morgan again when he starts to hit the road towards Alexandria. Morgan leaves the hometown. He, you know, starts killing tons of people in the forest. He links up with Eastman. He becomes Eastman's student. Eastman dies. Morgan is galvanized to hit the road and, you know, find life somewhere. All life is precious, and he is going to go off on that mission. And that's what takes him directly to Alexandria. He gets to Alexandria. We've been with Morgan ever since. There is not a single pocket where it makes any kind of sense whatsoever for Morgan to be anywhere even in the vicinity of the same orbit as Madison and Nick and Alicia and Strand and Salazar and all of those characters in the Fear of the Walking Dead timeline that we have come to know so far. It makes no sense if that's the case. So it can't be the case unless Walking Dead, this universe, really wants to go nuclear and jump every single shark imaginable. So what it means is that Fear of the Walking Dead is going to take place, at least in part, after Morgan's involvement here in season 8 of The Walking Dead. That's exciting to me. I think that that's a very cool storytelling possibility where now you are linking these shows much closer together. If, you know, Fear the Walking Dead tanks at a certain point, you know, I think it really is in need of some new creative energy. I think bringing Morgan into the picture helps with that and brings a familiar set of eyes from The Walking Dead universe into that universe. You know, one of the stalwart characters of the entire franchise, one of the most enduring faces of the franchise, now going off and co-leading the spinoff series. And if the spinoff series doesn't make it past a fourth season, all of the great characters from that show that we would want to bring over to The Walking Dead proper, you can imagine how Morgan could bring those people over. He's going to know what an Alexandria is. He's going to know what the kingdom is. He's going to have that ability to come back to this show at any point in time. This is also great because we can hit fast forward on a bunch of character evolutions. Alicia was trending toward being a super badass in season three. Now she can be full tilt badass when we catch up with her in what would be like 4 or maybe even like 5 years since the last time we saw them, several years down the line. So I think that this is nothing but great news. I'm really excited about it. This is the most I've been excited about the Walking Dead universe in a very long time, is this announcement that Morgan is shifting over to Fear the Walking Dead. I love that character. I love Lenny James. I think it adds some relevancy to Fear the Walking Dead, which was already shaping up to be pretty cool for season four. And I'm on the record, I like season three of Fear the Walking Dead even. And I think, you know, you've got Garrett Dillahunt coming to the show. You've got Jenna Elfman coming to the show. Now you've got Lenny James, who's going to be there. That universe is suddenly a lot more exciting, and it's even more exciting because timeline wise, it's going to sit alongside The Walking Dead proper. A lot of people have been, you know, really worried about this news in terms of like, how does it make sense that we are going to have Morgan existing in the Fear of the Walking Dead universe if it takes place in the past? The answer is it doesn't make sense because that's not what's going to happen. We're doing a time jump on Fear of the Walking Dead. It's real. It's happening.
Yes. I watch a commercial for Arby's, and they're talking about Arby's has this 13-hour brisket, and they say the 13-hour brisket, that how does that make sense for a fast food restaurant to have a 13-hour brisket? They said, we're Arby's. We don't make sense. We make sandwiches. And that's Fear of the Walking Dead. We don't make sense. We make zombie shows.
You know, and like that is like the thing to keep in mind where it's not impossible that is the case, yes. And they're moving to Austin where there is some truly delicious smoked meat that they could enjoy. But I think the other thing to keep in mind is that Scott Gimple, who is the showrunner of the main Walking Dead, has now in the wake of Dave Erickson, who was the showrunner for the first three seasons of Fear the Walking Dead, he has departed, and two new showrunners, whose names I'm blanking on off the top of my head, are now in charge of Fear the Walking Dead, alongside Scott Gimple, who is serving as an executive producer on Fear the Walking Dead, and is going to be a lot more involved creatively on that show. And the Great Morgan episodes of The Walking Dead are written by Scott Gimple. He wrote Clear. He wrote Here Is Not Here, the Tabitha the Goat flashback. He has a real affinity for this character. He loves this character.
He loves Morgan. If you've ever seen Scott Gimple on The Talking
Huge
Dead,
Morgan
he's
fan.
Always talking about Morgan. And so I wonder if this is like bad news for Madison, that I wonder if this could be some sort of like a coup where Morgan ends up taking over Fear the Walking Dead.
Well, I do think that that is something that we should
clear
be
the
monitoring. You know, Clear the Walking Dead might be happening.
No, Rob,
I think.
It's Clear of the Walking Dead.
Fear of the Walking
Dead. Clear of the Walking Dead. Yes, stay clear of the Walking Dead is what I advise everybody who tells me, I haven't watched Walking Dead. Should I try? I say, no, don't bother. I mean, like, if you're already in this deep, you got to stick with it. But if you haven't done it yet, stay clear of the Walking Dead.
Watch it, Morgan. Get out of here.
But I think that we're probably moving into territory where you can imagine some of these characters from Fear the Walking Dead that are, you know, their lives are left hanging in the balance at the end of season three of Fear the Walking Dead really ended on a cliffhanger where you didn't know what was happening to just about anybody other than Madison. You can imagine them clearing the decks. Like, you can imagine
that's what Morgan's there
the scenario.
Do.
Yeah, exactly. You can imagine the scenario where if it's not Morgan, then, you know, just over the passage of time, or maybe somebody like, you know, a few people could have died in the incident of the Gonzales dam blowing up and everything. But this is an opportunity to, you know, wait for it, clear house a little bit in terms of the cast of Fear of the Walking Dead. I think that that is a bummer of a prospect if you really love those characters like through and through. But personally, I think it's kind of exciting. I think that it's a cool creative reset for the show. It aligns things more closely with the main Walking Dead. It expands that universe a good amount. I'm into it. I'm feeling it. And Scott Gimple being, you know, intimately involved in Fear of the Walking Dead as Morgan is coming into the picture, I think that means that that character is in very good hands for the near future.
Okay, so let's take a couple of questions on this, Josh. And we're talking about the Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead being synced up in the time frame, but is it possible, first, that could Fear the Walking Dead actually end up in a further time out than The Walking Dead proper? Because we need to get Morgan from Virginia to Texas. Now, Morgan was able to travel from Georgia to, like, everybody else was in a car. I think Morgan seemed like he was on foot, and he was able to catch up pretty quickly. So maybe he has access to, like, the Littlefinger travel by map technology.
Yes, yes.
But do you think that will there be months allotted in the time frame for Morgan to travel from where we are now in Virginia to Texas?
That's a good question. I do wonder how they're going to handle that, because I think, I don't know, I don't think that much like Game of Thrones, where they really don't want to like throw a number on how many years it's been across the show of Game of Thrones, like how much time has passed in that story. I don't think that The Walking Dead really wants to do that math, because then they have to explain how Chandler Riggs became like a full on adult over the course of the show. Mm-hmm. Like, so like it's like did 10 years pass? Like, how much time has passed? Because, you know, you gotta find a way to explain that, mister. So I wonder like how specific they will get. But I do think it's not impossible that Fear the Walking Dead could be taking place significantly past Walking Dead, or, you know, Walking Dead will also have to do some movement in terms of, you know, between seasons 8 and 9, maybe some time passing there. I think that those options are definitely all on the table. I do think in terms of like the journeyman aspect to more Morgan. I think that that's something that's worth keeping in mind. Like, anyone who's like, I don't understand why Morgan would even leave where he is in the Alexandria safe zone and everything. Like, why would he go to Texas? What's the reason for that? I mean, what was the reason for Morgan hitting the road in the first place when he leaves Eastman's cabin? You know, why does he go off on the road? He's just going off to see if he can find some of that sweet, precious life, Rob. I think that the story that's being told with Morgan on the show right now is he's obviously gone a little haywire again. Like, he's reverted back to the guy that we saw in season 3 in Clear, the guy that we saw in the flashback portions of season 6. This is a Morgan who has regressed very badly. And if, like, the overall theme of the season is can mercy prevail over wrath, I think what this tells me with Morgan is he's going to come back from his current psychosis to an extent, but I think he's going to feel like, I can't be around people anymore. I can't be around like any of you guys anymore. There's really nothing that's keeping him there. He doesn't really have strong emotional ties to anybody on the show other than kind of Carol. And it looks like Carol is going to be occupied with a different character from the kingdom pretty soon here based on a scene from this past episode. He's, I guess, close-ish with Rick, but not even really. Like, when they reconnected, it was always really awkward and kind of fraught. So what's keeping Morgan in Alexandria? This is a guy who is a wanderer at heart anyway here in the zombie apocalypse. So I think it makes a lot of sense for why he's going to leave the show. That was something that Scott Gimple talked about on The Talking Dead, right? Like, the way that season 8 of Walking Dead is ending for Morgan allows for his arc in Fear the Walking Dead season 4.
Now, we have a question from Jeff Davis on Twitter. He asks, how is Morgan going to end up in Texas? Is he going to get there on the garbage copter? Now, we have not confirmed that the helicopter Rick saw was the garbage copter. That did not come up in last week's episode as we expected it to. But do you think, could the helicopter that we saw transport Morgan to Texas? And if so, why?
That is a great question. Yeah, maybe. I guess it's not impossible. You know, we don't know what's going on.
Is that a garbage copter? What's
that? I actually think that this might not be an awful theory. I mean, the garbage copter factor, that is an awful theory. Yeah. I'm out on the garbage copter. That stinks. That smells. But I think, you know, we are now wondering, like, what is the helicopter doing in the world of the Walking Dead?
So you don't
Dead
think that
right
the helicopter,
now,
you're writing that off as belonging to Jadis and garbage people?
I don't think so. I think that that's so, it's so hard for me to imagine. I mean,
imagine, do it.
You know,
imagine, Ken. You.
Is their helicopter pilot just going to wear like a helmet and like a headset and that's
no,
it?
No, just
and
a like, smock. They're completely naked and they fly the garbage copter.
I was going to say like completely naked except for the headpiece and like maybe aviator sunglasses. I feel like that's an appropriate thing to wear as a garbage copter pilot. Yeah, I'm out on the garbage copter, but I'm now a little more in on the helicopter itself. And maybe like whatever's going on in Texas, maybe there is something a little bit closer to civilization. Like, is there any sort of like, is there like an army base that like Madison and all those people are going to have taken over by the time we've caught up with them? Or is there going to be some sort of contingent like that we're going to meet in the world of Fear the Walking Dead? One of the things that's never really fully panned out in the Walking Dead TV show, and it's always surprised me, especially I really thought that Fear the Walking Dead would go in this territory, is that Robert Kirkman, the creator of the Walking Dead comic books, his favorite zombie movie, it's not Night of the Living Dead, it's not Dawn of the Dead, where everyone's trapped in the shopping mall and running rampant over the mall and using that as their sanctuary. He loves Day of the Dead, which deals with like scientists and underground bunkers and army people who are still like trying to like fight this thing. And that's never really bared out in the Walking Dead adaptation. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some shades of Day of the Dead that we're going to get into with Fear the Walking Dead season 4, and I think that you could see the helicopter linking those two things together, maybe. So hadn't even thought about that until you brought it up, but it's got my I don't know, I was gonna say my wheels spinning, it's got like my helicopter blade turning. I
yeah,
don't know,
okay,
my head hurts. I'm
give
sorry.
The credit to Jeff, I just read the question, I don't have that yes. As the theory,
but no, I think it's good though, I think that's fun.
Okay. Let me ask you about some non-Morgan stuff. Andiamo had a question. First, there was an A on the Terminus containers. Then Negan makes Daryl wear an A sweatshirt. Now Jadis marks an A on Rick's container. Did all the bad guys in the apocalypse get some kind of a manual? But in terms of the A that Jadis put up on Rick's cage, did you take anything away from that? Do you have any speculation on that?
It just marks who the A-listers are, mm-hmm. right? Like, anytime you've got the A-listers trapped, you have to stamp an A in their general direction. And I think that, like, you know, Rick is in the car. Daryl was in that train car as well. Daryl's in captivity. He's the co-lead of this show. Rick is in captivity. He's the co-lead of the show. Both of those guys deserve the A. I don't know. I have no idea what is with the Walking Dead writing staff's fascination with the letter A. I did find that curious. I have no great answers. Do you have a good theory about that?
I do not. I have no idea what's going on.
It's some sort of motif. You know, there's some sort of thematic guiding principle that the writers are implementing there that is just, it's above our heads, Rob, mm-hmm. and it perhaps always will be.
Well, this is the season of callbacks, and of course, that is, I'm sure, meant to be a callback to the other times we've seen that, but I don't even know if we necessarily even got why Daryl was wearing an A on a shirt back when he was at the sanctuary.
Yeah, I don't think so. The previews for next week, for next week's episode of The Walking Dead, answer one of the biggest mysteries of The Walking Dead, which is that Rick is a boxer's man in the battle of boxers versus briefs.
Mm-hmm, right. Right. Did you have any takeaways about the garbage people sequence, the controversial return of the garbage people in Jadis?
I mean, I guess my biggest question was like, what's the point? Like, I mean, now we've got the answer for why Rick is taking all of those Polaroids is because he, and I actually like this. Like, I think that this makes sense that he is, you know, he's, you know, tracking proof positive that they have the saviors, surrounded, that they have the upper hand right now. And like, you know, there aren't live feeds in the world of The Walking Dead. Like, you've got radio and you've got still photographs if you still are lucky enough to have a Polaroid camera. And I guess we've got like the video camera that once existed in Alexandria when Deanna, remember her, Deanna, when she was interviewing everybody who had come into Alexandria. So I liked that. I liked how that paid off. I thought that that was totally fine, that that's why he was taking all the pictures. But why, like, I don't know. There's got to be more to Rick's plan than just, like, Jadis was just going to be stubborn and say no. Like, I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop of, like, what is Rick's backup plan here if Jadis says no? Like, obviously, the ideal first case scenario, like, the best case scenario is that Jadis is like, oh, wow, yeah, you do have the sanctuary surrounded, and yeah, okay, we'll sign on, we're on board. She doesn't speak like this, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, like, what is his backup plan? What's the backup plan? There has to be a backup plan. Like, this season has been about like Rick being ahead of the curve every single step along the way, which has been fun and exciting. He's got to have a plan here, right? Like, there's got to be no, you think he just like overestimated on this one? He's just gonna get junked up by the junk people?
Josh, I don't even understand why he's there in the first place. I mean, we have this siege going on at the sanctuary. Why did it? It's not like that there was some linchpin that, well, once we get the garbage people then at our backs, then that'll be the final domino against Negan. I don't know necessarily what Rick is. It seems like he's talking to them about, like, we need to be set up so that in the future we could all work together.
Right. And I think that's what he wants. I think that's what he wants. I think he wants to do this without
Rick.
You know, he doesn't want to kill more than is necessary. So I get that to a degree. But I mean, who was going to cry if he just like slaughtered the junkyard people? You know, I think that that would have been OK. I think if he'd just taken out the trash, we'd all be happier mm-hmm. for it.
But their whole thing is we don't take, we don't bother. Like, I think he could have just left them alone. Like, other than when they took Father Gabriel for no reason. Did we ever get a good explanation of why the garbage people kidnapped Father Gabriel?
I think just because
was there
fun.
A motive there?
No, I think it was just fun to do.
Or was that payback for when the garbage people, I'm trying to get this all straight. So did the garbage people set up the boat that had the stuff on it?
Or they had their eye on the stuff that was on the boat, and then Rick and Aaron took the stuff.
That
and
was
they were
payback.
Mad that they took the stuff. Yeah, so it was vengeance. It was vengeance.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's a tweet that we just got. This is from Jamie on Twitter, who says, gentlemen, why the hell are the garbage people strategically important? Do they control the only passage over the Green Fork of the Trident? Is the garbage dump sort of like in a very strategic spot that they always have to go around it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe you have to pass through the trash in order to get to the sanctuary. And if they want to take over the sanctuary, they need to take over the trash.
Okay. All right. Well,
I also like that we were referred to as gentlemen.
Yes. Yes. Very good.
Yes.
All right.
Very,
well,
very nice.
Josh, do you have any other Walking Dead thoughts before we start to get set for Sunday night's new episode?
Yeah, I mean, we barely talked about this episode, to be honest with you.
Morgan, I think, was really the pressing stuff.
Of course. But I do think that kind of speaks to the episode, where this was really a chess pieces episode. I mean, I guess, you know, Gregory has been imprisoned now. He is one with these imprisoned saviors here in the Hilltop. You know, Carl has made a new friend. What's up, Sadiq? Cool to have you on the show. Big fan. But there really wasn't much. I mean, like the Carol and Ezekiel stuff, that was nice. But it was just kind of a sort of like a totally like forgettable episode, right? Like I'm not sure that I'm ever going to remember this episode in like a year from
RPG
now. Well, I remember
thing was
this
pretty,
one.
Epic. I don't know if we'll forget Jadis in the smock.
Right. Maybe that's true. And I will say for the record, like I'm all good with the RPG that Rosita just, you know, fired off into another human being in the same way that I was really okay with like the Fast and Furious tripwire sequence in the mid-season
Incredible
7 premiere.
Moment.
Great moment. Like, you know, we're so far down the road here on Walking Dead that like anytime you could just do something ridiculous and kind of great because it's ridiculous, I'm probably going to be all right with it. Like I have seen like a few people being like, that was so ridiculous.
No,
yeah,
it was
ridiculous.
Great.
And wasn't that fun?
Highlight of season 8 so far.
Yeah, fun ridiculous is good. No, I've actually, you know, I've been kind of enjoying season 8. I gotta be honest.
Okay, good. I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, like I'm kind of enjoying Walking Dead right now. You know, as far as I'll ever enjoy it again, like I think I'm having a pretty good time.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, how about we've got some great hashtags. What do you think of Clear the Walking Dead?
I think that, or should it be Clear of the Walking Dead?
Clear of the Walking Dead, the new show.
We do have 280 characters now.
Starring
I think
Letty
we can afford.
James.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I really am. I think, you know, like the idea of Jessica, Elise, and I were tweeting about this of like, are we now shipping Morgan and Madison? That's a fun prospect to consider. You know, like I think that just like there's a lot of different possibilities that come from this news of like, could you even see like crossover episodes at some point between Fear and the main Walking Dead, like the big crossover that just happened on the CW this past week with all of their DC superhero shows? Who the hell knows? Lots of possibilities, though. I think that it's a smart move for AMC. They lose nothing by fast forwarding Fear the Walking Dead and bringing that closer to the Walking Dead in terms of the timelines. They lose absolutely nothing and potentially gain a good amount. So I'm excited about it. I think it's a really smart move, and I think it's potentially an exciting one and potentially one that's just going to be completely boring and meaningless. That's entirely possible as well. But just on paper, I really, really like the move.
No, and it opens up the door that you have so many other characters, and you touched on this in your THR article, that anybody else, here's Heath, here's, you know, anybody else who did not die on screen, they could just show up in Austin. You know, you have something going on that's like a try, like, hey, I heard about this whatever that's going on down here in Austin, so I decided to come on down. There's some sort of like Austin, like, not necessarily like there's like a path that's like all roads lead to Austin, just like the Survivor Know-It-All. So it's all happening.
Yeah, I like it. I'm a fan.
Stephen Fishback is still there somehow in this timeline.
Well, that either means you're still there too, probably, or like worse, dude. So I hope you're there. I hope you're on Fear the Walking Dead now.
Rob's not here. Trust me. Okay. All right. Well, great catching up with you about The Walking Dead. Hope you're feeling better.
Me too. I'm pounding water over here to pacify my pounding headache. I've got a Mr. Robot podcast to record tonight with Antonio Mazzaro. Looking forward to doing that. No headache is going to stop me from talking Mr. Robot with Antonio. He may just need to take the lead on that show. Thank you guys for putting up with me if I'm not at my best today. Certainly not feeling that way. So thank you guys so much for being awesome as always.
All right. Great stuff. I will be back on Sunday night with Jessica Lees to talk about episode number 7 as we start to approach the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead. Leave us your comments on postshowrecaps.com. And of course, also check out another podcast that Josh and I just dropped about a new show coming to History TV. That is called Nightfall. It's the new scripted drama series premiering on Wednesday, December 6th at 10 p.m. Eastern, set in medieval France, the tangled world of politics and conflict. One headstrong and courageous Templar knight, Landry, will lead his order of warrior monks on a life and death mission to find the lost Holy Grail. Control the Grail, control the world. Yes, it's all happening on Nightfall.
What do you think? Is Landry going to be in Fear of the Walking Dead? He is in Texas.
Landry.
Lance.
We got to find the Holy Grail.
It's Landry.
Yeah. So catch up the new 10 episode series coming to History.
I need to drink from the cup. I need to drink from the grail.
That's right. You're pounding all this water. You only need to drink a little bit in the Holy Grail. That podcast is up on postshowrecaps.com if you want to check out our review of Nightfall. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.